This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong and you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we speak to an athlete that's regarded as one of the greatest road cyclists Malaysia has produced. But first up, this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Alright, Sabrina Magdalene from the News Desk. Welcome back to the program, Sabrina. Three pieces of news this week. Let's start with the good.
Yes, so just as the Paralympics ends, the rewards come, you know. And this time, the focus is on badminton. So Badminton Association of Malaysia rewarded 400,000 ringgit to the sport's Olympic and Paralympic medal winners and together with their teams as well. Mm. So our bronze medalists, Aaron Chia and Sohuo Yik, they received 120,000 ringgit. And at the same ceremony that took place, their sponsors, 100 plus, gave them another 60,000 ringgit. Nice. And their coach, Flandy Limpele, earned 30,000 ringgit on behalf of the men's doubles department team of coaches. And then, you know, there's also Malaysia's first badminton gold medal winner, Paralympian Chia Liek Hau. He was given 200,000 ringgit and his coach, Datuk Rashid Siddiq, was awarded 50,000 ringgit. There's a lot of money numbers coming through.
Happening.
Yeah. So, and then the Perak government also recently announced cash incentives. And I guess that means Liek Hau will get 25,000 ringgit as announced for those who win the gold medal. And on top of that, the Youth and Sports Ministry said that the incentive for medal winners at the Olympic Games will remain and not be reduced. And that means every athlete who wins a gold medal at the Olympics and Paralympics will get an incentive of 1 million ringgit.
Oof.
And then it's 300,000 for silver and 100,000 for bronze. So, you know, the 5 years of perseverance and focus and even the difficulty of training during the pandemic, maybe even away from family,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure it's paying off, you know, the monetary blessing.
Yeah, I mean, the Paralympic gold is definitely a historic moment in Malaysian history. And it's just great to see, you know, like you said, you know, these guys train for so long, mm-hmm. they practice for so long and just to get rewarded, right,
yeah,
for all their efforts is a great thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
From the good, let's move to the bad.
Yeah, so this is regarding the prevalent racial abuse in football. Hopefully, this news will instill some kind of a healthy fear for people to change their behaviour about this serious matter. You know, so a 43-year-old man in the UK got a 14-week jail sentence, suspended for 18 months to oversee his behaviour. He posted racist comments on social media blaming Marcus Rashford, Bukayo Saka and Jadon Sancho for England's Euro 2020 final defeat to Italy. So just a little background, the three of them missed spot kicks in a penalty shootout after the match at Wembley just as they finished as a draw.
Yeah.
So on top of the 14-week suspended imprisonment sentence, that man must do 30 days of rehab and be subject to an electronically monitored curfew for much of the weekend for 40 weeks in total. And he also must pay the victims £100 in compensation costs and a victim surcharge.
The victims being the trio of footballers.
Yes, correct.
I see. Yeah, I mean, racism has always been a thing, right? This is not the first time we're talking about racism, especially in English football.
Yeah.
So it's great to see the authorities finally taking action against certain individuals. From that bad news, we move to even uglier news, Sabrina.
So I don't know if this is ugly for some people. It might be favourable, lah. But, you know, it's about FIFA proposing to stage a World Cup every 2 years. This is, of course, you know, met with opposition from European leagues, whose board of directors included members from La Liga, the Premier League, the Bundesliga, League One, and also Serie A.
Mm-hmm.
So they said the leagues will work together with other stakeholders to prevent football governing bodies to take unilateral decisions that will harm domestic football. That's part of their statement. And also UEFA President Alexander Kafferin warned that the World Cup every 2 rather than 4 years would dilute the tournament. And he warned of a potential European boycott of the tournament if FIFA goes ahead with this plan.
Mm.
And on top of that, 58 national fan organizations across the sports six confederations said that an overwhelming majority of fans oppose a biennial World Cup cycle. And they were also upset that FIFA did not engage with them on the matter. But in contrast, Bangladesh, Maldives, Nepal and Sri Lanka said in a joint statement that they were actually among 166 national federations who voted in favour of a World Cup every 2 years. They said that, you know, the 4-year gap is too great. And actually, none of these four countries has ever actually qualified for a World Cup as well.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. And so, you know, it does seem like, you know, there's a divide in the reaction to this proposal. There's, of course, a lot of considerations to take into account, including financials. But, you know, with the latest development is that FIFA president Gianni Infantino said that he will make a decision by the end of this year. Mm. So that's just under 4 months for us to see how, if fans will need actually 2 or 4 years to save their money in order to travel to watch their country heroes in action.
Many thanks to Sabrina Magdalene from the News Desk for this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our feature this week is on road cycling and a man who's the first Malaysian to win a European road race classified by UCI, and a man who's also a 6-time SEA Games gold medalist. Hailing from Terengganu, Harif Saleh has been setting the roads ablaze on the international scene. He recently came in 4th at the 150km race at the Grand Prix Manavgat in Turkey. Harif joins us on the program and tells us about his journey so far.
Memandangkan sekarang di Terengganu dah memasuki fasa 2. Kita orang dah start training macam biasa. Sekarang walaupun tak ada race, kita tetap training lah. Fokus lah.
That's great. Harif, you just came back from Turkey. Your first race in a very long time, right? You came in impressive 4th in Turkey. How did it feel like, Harif, to be racing again after such a long time?
Diikutkan saya memang bekerja dengan Terengganu TSG sebagai full athlete dan dibayar allowance. So saya punya career tu stay on lah, walaupun tak ada race, kita orang stay hard training. Training tu walaupun dalam keadaan pandemik, kita orang stay training wahoo ataupun indoor training, gym training, at least that's why macam saya sendiri, saya boleh bagi result walaupun 1 tahun tak ada race, tapi kita punya preparation macam race lah di Terengganu ni, training.
But you must feel very lega and very relieved that you finally get to race again, right?
Yeah,
after so long.
Yeah, kadang-kadang kita excited when long time tak ada race. Mm-hmm. So kita rasa macam excited lah, mahu buat yang terbaik. Bila kita ada race, kita tahu next month ada race dekat contoh di Thailand. Lepas tu kita akan training full gas lah untuk fokus, pasal kita nak cover kita punya result sebab kita dah tak ada race. Di situlah kita nak bagi 100% lah bila di race tu.
Yeah, and I think you did really well. You came in 4th, which is quite an achievement, quite a result. So congrats for that. So we're talking a little bit about how training has been different during the pandemic. And I know for cyclists, there's a simulator called Zwift, right? Do you use Zwift?
Yeah, memang saya menggunakan Zwift lah di rumah. At least saya punya coach ada bagi schedule untuk Zwift, dan ada juga sometimes invitation daripada club yang local daripada Malaysia. Dia invite saya join race di situ, walaupun small race, bagi saya saya kena masuk juga. Bukan apa, untuk saya punya preparation, pasal bila kita walaupun race tu bagi tahu alam maya race, tapi kita stay fighting lah untuk kita punya kekalkan momentum bila berkayuh tu.
Yeah, I mean Zwift is definitely an essential tool, especially for cyclists like yourself, you know, just to keep that form and momentum going, right? There's even talk of making Zwift an Olympic event. It's almost like an e-sport now, Zwift. What are your thoughts on that?
Kalau dia dibuat benda ni, bagus juga, pasal sekarang kita tengok sukan yang macam game kan, dah ada dibuat, saya rasa lagi bagus lah. Pasal kita tahu sekarang pandemik, nak kayuh, ada some country boleh kayuh di luar, some country cannot ride kan.
Yeah.
So apa alternatif terbaru, ada race yang Zwift ni lah, contoh macam tu lah.
Understand. Tell us a little bit, you know, if it's non-pandemic days, what's your training regime like? What's your training schedule like?
If if tak ada macam pandemik tiada, saya rasa lagi full lah saya punya schedule. Mungkin many race lah saya akan lakukan. Kita tengok di Asia pun, di Japan, di China, di Korea, many race. Full schedule lah kalau tak ada kalau tak ada pandemik ni, mungkin saya busy fokus pada pada cycling lah.
And I understand that you started, take me to how you started cycling, your early beginnings. I understand your first bicycle was your mom's bicycle, the one with the basket, the buckle in front, right? Tell us about it. How do you get into cycling?
Okay, saya punya pengalaman daripada abang lah, daripada brother Zamri Saleh. Saya yang ikut dia macam mana berkayuh. Lepas tu ada race di Terengganu. And then saya join the race. Lepas tu saya ada menang the race. Lepas tu di situlah saya join the club. And then terus lah saya punya career sebagai pelumba bicycle.
And you never stop from there. And you're quite at the top now, I would say. But you went from, Harif, you went from using your mom's bike, your mom's bicycle, to now a 40,000 ringgit bicycle. I understand you have 5 bikes in your possession for racing?
Yeah, normally TSG provide saya ada 3 biji lah. 3 biji bicycle untuk training 2, race 2.
Getting the gear that suits you and the bicycle that suits you is really essential, it's important. Can you tell us a bit about your relationship with Argon Bikes and, you know, why this Canadian brand?
Oh, saya punya management TSG menggunakan Argon Bicycle. So, saya sebagai rider kena gunakan Argon lah untuk race ataupun untuk training, pasal dah kita diberi kontrak untuk 1 tahun pakai menggunakan Argon. So kita tak boleh pakai mana-mana bicycle yang lain lah.
I see, it's the contract lah.
Yeah, contract.
And was it hard? Did you use Argon bikes before? Was it hard to adapt to a new bicycle?
Mungkin mengambil dalam satu masa, 1 bulan juga untuk selesa bicycle tu. Macam mana nak feel dia punya keras. Lepas tu untuk sprinting, climbing lah. So, wamang juga lah untuk ambil masa untuk feeling the bike lah.
Understand. We just saw Azizul, Dato Azizul, you know, take home silver in track cycling. But road cycling is a different beast, right? You travel on the road, different types of terrains. Can you just give us the difference? You know, how hard is it running on, let's say, you're doing mountains instead of roads? Like, what's the different skills you need for both these terrains?
Okay, bagi saya rasa kita punya culture tak sama seperti di Europe. So di Europe mungkin di sana attitude diorang tinggi.
Attitude
dia punya tempat. So di sana banyak jalan untuk mountain. Dekat Malaysia ni mountain tak banyak. So memang susah lah. Kita punya elevation pun tak tinggi. So lagi tak bagus manalah untuk pergi ke mountain kan. Kalau untuk spring saya rasa bagus, pasal kita tengok bila tour di Langkawi, kita tengok rider-rider yang datang semua pro tour, ada yang pro continental. At least kita boleh berada dalam top 5, dan saya sendiri pun boleh menang dengan rider yang dari pro tour. At least saya rasa kita dah sama level dengan rider top sprinter semua.
Understand. But how do you train for, you know, you don't have a choice of a terrain, you know, let's say you go to Europe and you have to travel, you have to, you know, take your route through the mountains. How exactly do you train for that in Malaysia?
Sometimes saya akan membuat extra training lah. Contoh Zwift dia ada route untuk mountain. Lepas tu so kita akan develop lah, saya punya masa akan training untuk Zwift. Ia akan rasa berat kan. So kita dah training at least rope 5 hour. Habis 5 hour training rope. Lepas tu saya rest dalam 2 hour or 3 hour. Afternoon saya kayuh Zwift.
I see.
2 hour lah. Saya punya extra training lah tu.
Understand. Is there a particular route, dream or dream race that you've never done before?
Olympic lah. Olympic sama itu Tour de France lah.
Tour de France, yes.
Move on itu club lagi besar, ada yang mau ambil, yes. Saya pun mau cari experience, mau masuk juga lah itu Tour de France, Giro Italia, yang big race punya race lah. Olympic lah.
Is it hard to qualify for those events?
Memang hard juga lah untuk pergi ke next level tu.
I want to talk a bit about, you know, going back to 2017. You had an injury in 2017, spinal fracture in South Korea, right, Arif?
Okay.
You almost gave up cycling when that injury happened, but you came back strong. You won the gold medal at the KL 2017 SEA Games, which, okay, congrats again. How did you overcome that injury? You know, what was going through your mind at that time?
Okay. Persiapan saya masa tu, saya crash di Tour de Korea. So saya masa tu, saya tak tahu lagi yang saya ada crack di pinggang belakang lah.
Tak sakit ke? Not pain.
Sakit. Sakit. Lepas tu saya macam ke tak ambil kisah lah saya punya injury. Lepas pada tu saya set mental hanya untuk fokus pada SEA Games. So di Korea saya hanya kayuh hanya buat training, ada stay flat, saya akan target untuk podium lah.
I see.
Tapi masa saya dah habis race di Korea tu, saya pergi check, saya mengalami retak pinggang di belakang. So memang memang saya punya semangat memang kuat lah masa tu untuk race di Malaysia lah. Saya tak peduli lah saya sakit ke apa. Saya nak juga race di Malaysia tu.
Yeah, it sounds like your mental attitude was really strong, you know. It's great to, you know, get over your physical injuries, but mental, right?
Yeah,
it's mental. Really important.
Pasal kita dah set goal motivation. That's why.
And you did it, you know, you got gold at the SEA Games. So well done. This pandemic also, Harif, has affected a lot of people, yourself included. You have to pivot, do many different things that you've never done before. You started your own business. It's called HS Sprint, which you sell cleaning products for motorcycles and bicycles, right? Can you tell us more about your business?
Okay, sekarang saya punya business, sometimes saya buat itu side income. So sekarang okay, seluruh Malaysia pun menerima saya punya brand. Sekarang saya rasa seluruh Malaysia lah, saya dah masuk di pasaran. Mungkin next year saya punya plan, saya nak buka kedai bike shop. Next year lah. Next year saya akan plan, saya akan buka bike shop saya sendiri.
In Terengganu?
In Terengganu.
Right, great stuff. You know, road racing, like I said, takes a lot of mental fortitude, takes a lot of determination and endurance, right? You go over hundreds of kilometers a stage or a day. What are your typical strategies to surviving the whole race since it's so long?
Kadang-kadang kalau kita nak pergi sesuatu race, kita akan preparation sebelum race lah, training lah. Training kita contoh Tour of Thailand. Kebiasaan normal dia akan buat ada stage 200 km. So kita training sebelum kita pergi ke Tour of Thailand, kita buat preparation. Normally kita akan kayuh minimum maximum 7 ataupun 8 hour kita kayuh.
Wow.
Atau basically untuk preparation di Tour of Thailand. That's why coach dia tahu profile race macam mana. Lepas tu dia bagi tahu macam saya punya kelemahan. Lepas tu dia akan monitor saya punya kayuhan. Mungkin dia bagi extra long untuk kayuh. So preparation lah. Kita kena tahu juga apa yang peak untuk racing.
Understand.
Ataupun kita nak pergi sesuatu perlombaan, biar perlombaan tu kena dengan route kita.
But you know, on the race day itself, let's say you're doing 200 kilometers, right? Are you the type of cyclist to, okay, pecut fast at the start and then save your energy for later on? Or, you know, what kind of modes are you in normally?
Okay, sometimes kita tengok sprinter different job ah. Tak sama, kita ada domestik, kita ada feeding rider domestik, lepas tu kita ada sprinter, kita ada king of mountain rider macam saya. Saya hanya sprinter. Kadang-kadang sprinter ni hanya tunggu untuk bunch spring. And ada rider must do the job lah. Contoh yang ni domestik, yang ni ambil feeding. Jadi masing-masing ada tugas masing-masing lah.
It's a team effort.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Harish. Last few questions. What's your highlight of your career so far? What's your most proudest moment?
Saya rasa Letua de Langkawi. Letua de Langkawi. And then the achievement baru ni di Turki. Okay lah. Saya first Malaysian rider menang di Euro Tour. And then my big achievement di Letua de Langkawi. Next year if qualified SEA Games, Commonwealth Games, Asian Games, maybe next year more harder lah training, and then the plan must do good plan lah for next year.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you at all those events. Hopefully you'll go on, right? And this pandemic will give us a chance to see you in action. How about your hardest race so far?
Sekarang ni tak ada yang susah. Di Turki pun saya pergi just a flat race. Itu kalau itu mountain race, pass and other people go lah. Kalau macam ke flat race, bagi saya tak ada yang susah lah. Okay lah.
Alright, great stuff. Last few questions. I know you just talked about opening up a bicycle shop. About your future plans, do you plan to go into coaching, teaching the next generation of cyclists?
Okay, sekarang ni saya dah ada level 2 untuk coach.
Nice.
So sekarang ni saya dah bekerja sebagai TLDM, okay, ASKA. Okay. Next plan saya move on, buka kedai bicycle lah. Saya tengok lah macam mana planning, pasal sekarang pun pandemik. Saya rasa susah sikit lah. How to manage lah. Mungkin next year lah saya punya plan lagi.
That was Harif Salih, the first Malaysian to win a European road race and also a 6-time SEA Games gold medalist. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's program. If you'd like to revisit the interview with Harif, you can head over to our website real soon, www.bfm.my/barnone. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong. This has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.